black and white, a title appears after a carpet turns into a sheepdog, the Shaggy Dog.
He was the shaggiest dog. He was the shaggiest dog. He was the spookiest dog
I ever did see.
Go on, get out of here. Go on. Get.
I saw that dog upon a stair. I looked again and he wasn't there. I looked once more and what did I see?
That great big shaggy dog.
A grinning at me. He was the shaggiest dog I ever met. He was the shaggiest dog. Oh, what a pet. He was the spookiest dog I ever did see.
How do I know?
Well, give a listen to me. He was the shaggiest dog. He was the shaggiest dog. He was the spookiest dog I ever did see. How do I know? Well, give a listen to me. Dog one happy day. I'll tie him up, I'll make him stay. I'll make him fetch, I'll make him heal. I'm gonna prove to all the world he's really real. He's the shaggiest, raggiest, spookiest dog in town.
The sheepdog's nose wiggles, then it melts back into a carpet. In a well-to-do neighborhood, people walk down the street and a car passes.
This is a shaggy dog story.
A black dog with a bearded chin walks the sidewalk.
It could have happened anywhere, or to anyone.
It steps on a lawn in front of a house.
It so happened that it happened to Wilson Daniels, a man who loved people, but hated dogs.
Go on, get out of here! Go on! Get! Go on, get out of here!
The dog runs off. Wilson, a middle-aged man, goes back into the house with a newspaper. Inside, a woman in a house dress enters the dining room with a coffee pot.
Morning, dear.
Good morning, dear.
They kiss in the air and he sits at a table. She joins him. A headline in his newspaper reads, Dog Hero Awarded Medal.
Blast.
Yes, dear.
That's ridiculous. Of all the sickly sentimentality, giving a medal to a dog.
Don't get the paper in the butter, dear.
He wipes it off.
A big hero out of him.
What'd he do?
He dragged a baby from a burning building. Now, who couldn't do that?
Now, don't upset yourself, Wilson.
Dogs. Yapping and snapping at a man's heels. Man's best friend. If I ever find the idiot who said that.
You must remember, sweet, that most people love dogs.
I suppose I'm some kind of a freak because I don't.
It's nothing to be ashamed of, dear. Frankly, I think that dogs don't like mailmen because... Well, because sometimes they bring bad news. Animals sense those things, you know.
Frida, I am proud of the 20 years I've spent in the mail service. And neither snow, nor rain, nor sleet, nor dogs ever kept me from my appointed rounds. But those blasted dogs tried.
You were very brave.
Where are the boys?
They had breakfast early. They're down in the cellar tinkering with something.
What with this time?
I'm not sure. Is there something called an Issel interceptor?
Issel interceptor? Mm. Oh, you must mean missile interceptor. Frida, I've been thinking. As long as you're not taking a firm hand with Wilby, I've got to do something about it.
What do you mean, dear?
Well, for one thing, that mess he got us into last week.
Which mess was that?
The one where he had the police throw the new dean of the divinity school into jail as a public enemy.
Oh, well, that was because of the picture on the bulletin board in the post office. Did look a little like the new dean.
Now, what I propose to do about Wilby is... Missile interceptor.
He jumps up. The furniture shakes. He sits gathering dishes. Wilson tries to catch falling teacups as they clatter along the table. Frida collects plates. In the basement, a teenage boy grips a makeshift launch pad around a smoking rocket.
How can I switch it off? I haven't switched it on yet.
A young boy bends over. Smoke sputters from the end of the rocket.
Maybe we better take it off the launching side.
Yeah, hurry.
They roll the launch pad sideways as light flashes from the bottom of the rocket.
Never mind, it's too late. Get the upstairs area cleared. Hurry up.
The boy runs upstairs as Wilby backs up, smoke filling the basement. The boy runs up to Wilson. Frida heads for the door with an armload of china as Wilson follows.
We'll say something!
He looks around the dining room wildly, then grabs the silver coffee pot. Frida, Wilson, and the boy run out of the house.
Cookie, where's Wilby?
He's down in the basement!
Wilby sprints out.
Come on, Wilby!
The family runs behind a tree, Wilby carrying a turtle. Lights flash in the house windows and the rocket launches out of the roof. It shoots through the air, leaving sparks behind. The family watches it climb skyward.
Well, I guess we've officially entered the rocket, eh, J-Pop?
Wilson glares at Wilby, then opens his mouth.
It'd be great to be up there riding it, wouldn't it, Pop?
Wilby steals a look at Wilson, then looks down guiltily.
I wish I was on it right now.
Wilson?
Wilson lifts the coffee pot, then reluctantly lowers it. He takes a teacup from the stack in Frida's arms and fills it with shaking hands. Later, Wilby and his brother put a tarp over the hole in the roof.
Pop sure was sore.
Yeah, I know. I always seem to rub him the wrong way.
A lump rises from under the tarp and Wilby pushes it down. As it rises again, Wilby picks up a nearby hammer.
Wilby!
He flings the tarp back.
How'd you get up here?
I pile up some boxes. Now, Wilby, I'm sorry to have to say this to you, but I want you to get rid of all that junk in the basement.
All, sir?
All of it. I want you to dismantle the workshop, bury those chemicals, and give away all those mechanical gadgets.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to lose or give away or do something with all the mice, hamsters, bats, crickets, bugs, snails, and heaven knows what other plagues of mankind that lurk down there.
Yes, sir.
Now, get down off this roof, both of you, before you fall off and ruin the flower beds.
Be careful, Pop. Those boxes look kind of rickety.
Thank you. I'll do all right. Thank you.
He drops through the hole.
We better get down from here.
They throw the tarp back over the hole. Meanwhile, a convertible with large wheels stops in front of a nearby house. Wilby descends a ladder, then looks out to see a teen with dark, short hair running to the car.
Hi, Allison!
She waves back. Smiling dreamily, Wilby slips. He falls into the flower bed.
That's old knothead for you. Always showing off.
The flowers! That's just what Pop said not to do!
His swoopy-haired little brother climbs down the ladder. Wilby marches over to the car.
You all right, Wilby?
Oh, sure, I'm fine. Buzz, may I talk to you for a moment? Excuse me.
Buzz gets out of the driver's seat and follows Wilby a few steps away.
Look, Wilby, I'm in a hurry. Now, what about my $7?
Yeah, what about it?
Cough it up. Pop pulled the plug on my allowance.
Oh, look, Wilby, I'm sorry, but you know how it is. I've got a date with Allison.
I'm sick and tired of financing your romances. I'd like to take Allison out myself.
Buzz smiles.
You want a date with Allison?
Why not?
Wilby, have you ever taken a girl, any girl, out on a date?
Well, not exactly.
And now you want to move right in on the most popular girl in town.
Buzz, are we or are we not going to play tennis?
Coming. Excuse me.
Just a minute, Buzz.
He grabs his arm. Another convertible heads toward them, followed by a moving van. A teenager with a scarf and her curled hair drives with a man in a fedora beside her and a shaggy white and brown sheepdog in the back. They park across the street.
Great suffering cat.
They get out of the car and she looks back at them before kneeling by the dog.
What's she saying?
Ne pense pas à te sauver. Tu comprends?
She looks at the boys.
Baby.
Allison glares at Buzz and Wilby, who stare at the girl. Meanwhile, Frida spies out the window using binoculars.
Frida, what are you doing?
Just having a look at the new neighbors, dear. They're moving into that gloomy old Coverley mansion.
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now, give me my glasses. Who are they, anyway?
Well, he's a new assistant curator at the County Museum. A man by the name of Andrassy. Dr. Mikhail Andrassy.
Doctor?
Oh, my reports aren't in yet. But Murphy Jones, who leased the place, told me...
Frida, I'd rather not know how you get your gossip. What else do you know about them?
Well, he's supposed to be a well-known art expert. He spent some time in a prison camp after the war. Reason unknown. He worked in the famous Uffizi Museum in Florence, Italy. There is a daughter, 17 years old, been studying art in Paris.
How dare they bring a camel into this neighborhood? No.
Chiffon plays outside.
It's a dog. A blasted, dreaded dog.
That is correct. One brought a Slavian sheepdog. Supposed to be a very rare breed.
I'm going to have to move into the back bedroom.
Now, don't start falling apart, Wilson. You know very well that dog thing is all in your mind.
All in my mind? I itch. My sinuses are bloating up. My throat is constricting so I can hardly breathe. Those old Pekingese wounds on my ankle are throbbing like bongo drums, and you say it's all in my mind. Well, if you say so, okay.
Now, come along, Wilson. Why don't you just lie down and rest for a while?
Outside, the boys watch. Chiffon trots over.
Now, wait a minute. What about my $7?
It jumps on Wilby, his paws on his waist. Wilby pets him.
What do you know? I think he likes me.
That's his problem. I'm more interested in the little mamselle who owns him.
Hey, you shouldn't be running cross street like that, dog. Liable to be hurt.
By golly, you're right, Wilby. I'll bet she's worried about him. I better take him back. Come on, Pooch.
Now, wait just a minute, Buzz. This dog came to me.
All right, come on along. Maybe old Buzz can teach you something.
They take the dog to the front door as Allison grips the tennis racket.
Well, all the nerve.
She gets out of the car and hurries back up her porch to her front door. She goes inside. At the mansion.
Yes?
We brought back your dog.
The mamselle's dog.
Qui est Stefano?
De Jean Jean.
She comes to the door.
Chiffon, qu'as-tu fait? Tu viens tout violent.
Que puis-je faire pour vous?
Bring a dog, you.
Him, me. We do this.
What is it, Francesca?
Oh, Chiffon ran away and these two nice Indian boys brought him back.
Indians, this far east?
Oh, we're not Indian. I didn't know you spoke English.
But of course.
My daughter speaks 7 languages.
How many do you speak?
Wilby smiles shyly and raises a finger.
My name is Francesca, and this is my father, Dr. Andrassy.
How do you do, gentlemen? Oh, bring that over here, please.
I'm Buzz Miller. This is Wilby Daniels. He lives down the street.
Then we're neighbors. Won't you come in?
Buzz and Wilby follow Francesca into the mansion.
I'm afraid you'll have to excuse the house. We're just moving in, you know.
Boy, look at all the stuff.
Some of it is stuff, but some of it's rather priceless. Look, here's a Titiano, a Tintoretto, a Rodin, and a Vacchini.
She shows them paintings. Wilby backs into an antique pitcher, knocking it off a pedestal. He catches it.
This is a very fine piece. A Forzini, early 16th century. Probably worth, $3,000 or $4,000.
She takes it.
I believe there's an El Greco over there in the music room. That's another Tintoretto. Perhaps I better put it over here out of the way.
Chiffon pushes Wilby onto the couch.
Well, look at that. I've never seen Chiffon take such a fancy to anyone.
Wilby looks back.
He sure is friendly.
Buzz points at a portrait.
Who's she?
Lucrezia Borgia. Well, you remember the Borgias, of course.
Oh, sure. Who?
The Borgias were notorious during the Dark Ages in Italy. Some people say the Borgia dabbled in black magic.
Black magic?
A sheepdog lies beside her.
Hey, the dog in the picture, isn't he the same kind as this one?
Yes, a Bratislavian sheepdog. The breed has mostly died out now. Chiffon is one of the few left, and it's very lonely for him. Poor petit chou.
Excuse me, Francesca. Would you be good enough to take the Orsini artifacts to Dr. Howard at the museum? He's waiting for them.
Certainly, Father.
Well, say, why don't I drive you down there? My car's right outside.
Oh, wait, we'll both take you.
All right, I'll get my purse.
Hey, what's the big idea? I thought my driving made you nervous.
Look, the only thing about you that makes me nervous is my $7, if you know what I mean.
All right, Wilby, if you want to come along, glad to have you.
Thank you.
At a museum.
What a sweet little museum.
Oh, yeah, it's not bad. I put in quite a bit of time around this place, studying the arts.
Then how come you got lost getting here?
Buzz looks at Wilby.
Well, say, that's not a bad-looking deal.
C'est charmant.
You know, personally, I go in for the old Egyptian stuff, like that.
Wilby enters the next room.
That figures.
Buzz takes Francesca's arm and whisks her away. Wilby studies a sculpture.
Francesca.
He turns, then walks off.
Buzz.
He pushes open an ajar door.
Buzz.
In a Renaissance exhibit, a wax sculpture of a man in a cloak and hood bends over another figure whose hand rests on his arm.
Buzz?
Wilby turns from it and steps up to a wax figure of a looming cloaked man wielding a bejeweled dagger. He passes a display of wax figures in black robes standing over another figure laid out on a table, white masked faces hanging on the wall behind them. He steps up to another scene of a man lifting a beaker and a woman holding her hand over her mouth.
Buzz!
A masked witch's arm drops to its side, holding a goblet. As he takes a step, it lifts it to its mouth. Wilby stares. He walks over to it. He looks at the figure, then tentatively reaches for its free hand. A man in a long coat steps out from behind it.
You scared me, Professor.
So you ought to be. Serves you right. You shouldn't be wandering around here until the exhibit is open. I've worked day and night to get it ready.
I'm sorry, Professor Plumcut. I was looking for some friends of mine.
You know me? Why, of course. It's Wilby Daniels, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I used to deliver your paper.
That's right. So you did. Or did you? Come to think of it, I don't recall getting my papers lately.
No, sir. I gave up my route 2 years ago.
Oh, well, that just goes to show how often I read a newspaper. Nothing interesting happens to people these days. Now, in the delightfully evil days of the Borgias here, something interesting happened to people every day.
A man grips his own throat.
Yes, sir. I guess they did, sir. I'd better...
Wilby, do you realize that this civilization knew all about sorcery? Even about shapeshifting and the casting of spells.
What's shapeshifting?
Shapeshifting was the medieval art of borrowing somebody else's body to live in for a while. A most interesting practice. You've heard all about people being changed into cats, dogs, and other creatures, haven't you?
Ah, Professor, you don't believe in this stuff, do you?
Well, it may surprise you to hear, my boy, that I do. Oh, I know people laugh at these things today. But if they were honest, they'd admit that there are moments on dark and lonely nights when something stirs within us and reawakens ancient fears and beliefs.
Well, I'd better be going now. I have to find my friends.
Yes, come in and see me again. Well, look out!
Wilby walks into a table of artifacts, knocking them over. Plumcut winces, then kneels to help him pick them up.
Sorry.
No, it's all right.
As Wilby attempts to right the display table, Plumcut places jewelry into an open box.
Oh, look. Wilby, run along now, will you? I'll take care of these.
You sure it's all right, aren't you?
Yes, please.
Wilby stands and leaves the exhibit.
Well, they say it takes all kinds.
Later, Buzz arrives at Francesca's house with her in the passenger seat of his convertible. He hops out of the driver's side, rounds the car, and opens her door for her. She gets out.
That is a date?
It's a date.
Good deal.
I wonder what happened to Wilby.
Oh, don't worry about not it. He loves museums. Bye now.
Au revoir.
She heads for her house. In his car, Buzz makes a U-turn and drives up the road. He passes Wilby walking on the sidewalk with his head bowed.
Hi, Wilby.
Wilby glowers at him as he speeds off. In his basement, Wilby picks up the loose mud turtle.
Well, who gets the mice and the hamsters?
Pete Hammers. He always wanted them. Mickey Warren gave me a buck for your chemistry stuff. I promised to throw in Harry the Bat for free.
Well, what about old Zachary here?
I couldn't unload him. Nobody wanted him.
Poor old Zach. I know just how you feel.
Come on, Wilby.
Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Pop will get over it.
Yeah, Pop will get over it, but I won't. Still be the same mixed-up guy I've always been.
Wilson enters.
All right, boys, time for bed. If you haven't finished that, be sure and finish it tomorrow.
Be right up, Pop.
His brother sets down glass flasks.
You coming, Wilby?
In a minute.
Wilby picks up a cardboard box of items and kneels on the floor in front of a crate, setting them down. As he packs more things, he glances downward. A jeweled ring rests in the rolled-up leg of his pants. He retrieves it.
What the heck is this?
It bears a small painted face at its center.
How do you suppose?
Oh, I know. I must have fallen in when I knocked over the professor's case.
He sits, examining it.
In canis corpore transmuto. Sounds like Latin. Wish I knew more than just first year Latin.
He puts it on.
Canis. Canis. It's dog.
He takes it off.
Dog. Into dog, something, transmuto. In canis corpore transmuto. In canis corpore transmuto.
He snaps his fingers. At Francesca's, Chiffon sits up on the couch. At Wilby's.
It's a transmuto, and away we go with the do-si-do.
Wilby tosses the ring in the air and drops it on the floor. As he bends to pick it up, the view blurs, then focuses. When he stands, strands of shaggy white hair stick out of his head. He dons the ring and walks past a mirror over a sink. He stops and turns back to it. He peers into the mirror, holding another box. It falls as he stares at his reflection.
Wait a minute. What's going on here?
Zachary's head emerges from his shell. Mice in a cage dart.
Stop. Await somebody, whoever you are. I was just kidding.
He blows white bangs out of his eyes and touches hair hanging past his chin.
Wilby. Wilby, come on now. It's getting late.
Wilby looks up at the basement stairs, then ahead with a worried expression. A large black nose grows over his own. He bends over and stares at it in the mirror.
No. No!
At Francesca's, Chiffon disappears from the couch. In the basement, Wilby, as a sheepdog, looks in the mirror.
No. No. No!
Wilby?
Yipe.
Wilby?
Oh.
He hides by the stairs.
Wilby, come on up now. It's getting late.
Okay, Pop.
Wilson pauses at the top of the stairs.
You catching a cold? Your mother told you to wear a sweater down here.
Sweater? I've got a sweater.
Well, come on up now.
Wilson walks out of the basement, leaving the door ajar.
Oh, poor Pop. This'll kill him. What'll I do? Gosh, what'll I do? Professor Plumcut. He'll know.
He comes out from behind a trunk.
Now to get by Pop.
He hops up the basement stairs. In the living room, Wilson turns off the light and crosses the dining room. Wilby peers out of the open basement door. He creeps away as Wilson shuts the kitchen door. He switches off the kitchen light. Wilby eases through an open window and leaps to the ground. At the museum, Plumcut removes a large glass retort flask from a box and places it in a scene in the Renaissance room. Wilby arrives. He enters the exhibit and pads across the floor with his tongue hanging out. He walks up behind the professor.
Professor Plumcut.
Wilby sits and Plumcut turns around.
Hello, fella.
He turns back.
I've got to talk to you.
You know, dogs are not allowed in here.
I'm not a dog. I'm Wilby Daniels.
Plumcut studies Wilby.
Wilby Daniels? Are you ready? Well, well. You know, I'm not surprised. The very first time I saw you, I said to myself, that boy's a potential shapeshifter.
Is that what happened to me?
Of course. How on earth did you manage it?
I think this ring had something to do with it.
He wears it on his paw.
The Borgia ring. Where did you find it? I've looked everywhere for it.
Well, it fell in the cuff of my trousers.
Thank you very much for returning it. It's a very rare and unusual ring.
Professor.
What's the matter?
What about me?
What about you?
I don't want to be a dog.
You don't?
No, of course not. Can't you help me?
How? Apparently you've become involved with some old spell cast upon this ring. Probably by one of the Borgias. It sounds just like them.
But how do I get out of it?
Good heavens, don't ask me, my boy. How should I know? There are all kinds of spells. Some of them break themselves after a while others come and go like a headache.
Come and go?
Yes. Sometimes you'll be a dog and sometimes you'll be a boy. For hours at a time, sometimes longer. You never can tell. That's what makes it so interesting.
Well, how can I break the spell?
An act of heroism might break the spell.
Heroism?
Why, of course, why didn't I think of it first? Heroism has always been an important, a most potent factor in the breaking of spells. Do you remember the Hound of Florence?
Hound of Florence? No, sir.
Well, it's the famous story of a young man who was changed into a dog, just as you have been. He was in love with a beautiful girl, and one night got into a terrible fight, defending her against the attentions of an evil duke. The duke grabbed a dagger and plunged into the dog. The dog fell to the ground, and then as the poor little animal lay there with the dagger deep in his heart, he suddenly changed back into a man again.
Dagger in the heart?
Yes.
That'd kill me.
No, you don't grasp the point of the story. What I was trying to say is that it is possible to break such a spell. Well, now, you must excuse me, please. I have work to do.
Isn't there anything I can do?
Yes. Be happy and keep a stiff upper lip.
He lifts Wilby's chin.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Plumcut smiles. Wilby leaves the exhibit. Plumcut watches him go, then returns to work. Outside a cafe, a police officer reads in his cruiser. As his partner exits the cafe, Wilby bumps into him.
Oh. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. What'd you say?
I said I'm sorry.
That's what I thought you said.
The officer takes a step, then freezes. He turns a stunned look at Wilby as he runs off down the sidewalk. He frowns, his eyes widening and his eyebrows lift. He gets in the passenger side of the police car holding two cups. He hands one to his partner.
Guy?
Yeah, what's the matter with you?
You see a dog that's just in?
Yeah, why?
Did you hear... Hear what?
Forget it.
He turns to look at Johnny, who stares at him.
Forget it, I said. Forget it.
All right, then. I'll forget it.
They drink from their cups, and the officer blinks rapidly. He drinks again. At his house, Wilby's brother awakens in bed. Wilby's head pokes into the bedroom. His brother wipes his eye, then goes back to sleep. Wilby enters the room and jumps up on the door, shutting it. He opens a dresser drawer with his teeth, takes pajamas from it, and retreats into another room. His brother sleepily lifts his head as the door shuts and a light turns on beneath it. He lies back down. In the bathroom, Wilby's paw tugs pajama pants up his furry hind legs. In the bedroom, his brother lifts his head. In the bathroom, Wilby wears a full set of pajamas and gurgles at the sink with his front paws on it. He brushes his teeth and hangs the brush in a holder. The bathroom door opens and the light turns off. Wilby walks over to his bed and climbs into it. squinting, his brother watches him. Wilby gets under the covers and lays his head on the pillow. His brother goes back to sleep. In the morning, the bearded dog passes the Daniels house. He runs off as Wilson steps out. Wearing a cardigan and a bow tie, Wilson looks to either side. The dog peers out from beneath the bushes. Wilson picks up the newspaper from a flower bed and goes back into the house. Inside.
Wilby, Moochie, time to get up.
He walks away reading the paper in the boy's bedroom. Wilby sleeps under the blanket as his little brother gets up tiredly.
Hey, Wilby, I had the funniest dream last night. I dreamed that you were a dog.
He goes over to Wilby.
Come on, Wilby, wake up.
He pushes the blanket.
It was the greatest dream.
He grabs pants.
You came in this room as a big old shaggy dog.
He starts to take off his pajama top, then throws down the pants and goes to Wilby. He pulls back the blanket.
Oh, boy. How'd you get in here?
What do you mean I get in here? I live here.
You talk just like Wilby.
I am Wilby.
No, you're a dog. Where are you going?
Dog?
Wilby checks a mirror on a dresser.
Oh, it can't be true. No.
Do you think Papa let me keep you, Wilby?
Just shut up a minute, will you? Let me think.
I'll be good to you. Honest, I will. Boy, we'll have great times together.
Great times together? What are you talking about?
Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
I hope Pop won't shoot you.
Huh?
You know, he swore the first time that he caught a dog in this house.
You two better be out of bed when I get up there and open that door.
Yipe, here he comes.
They run to the bed.
Hurry, get under there. Come on.
He hides Wilby with the bed covers. In the hall, Wilson opens their bedroom door.
All right, come on, you birds.
Good morning, Pop.
Good morning, Moochie.
How are you this morning?
I'm very fine, thank you. Wilby?
Pop! Listen to this.
It's very nice. Now stop playing it and get dressed, huh?
But, Pop, I just learned it.
Very pretty. Now get dressed like I told you. Wilby, I want you out of that bed right now. And you brush your teeth.
Wilson leaves the room scratching his chest. He shuts the door and Wilby comes out.
Oh, that was a close one. Gosh, why did this have to happen to me?
It's just terrific, Wilby. How did it happen?
I don't know exactly. Remember, we were down in the basement last night?
Uh-huh. Morning, dear.
Good morning, dear.
In the dining room, Wilson and Frida exchange an air kiss. He sits and reads the paper. She sits and fills a teacup with the now-burnt coffee pot. He scratches his neck and chest.
Frida, have you seen any dogs around here?
Of course not. They wouldn't dare.
His brow knits as he scratches absently.
Are my eyes getting puffy?
He flutters them.
Well, you've always had puffy eyes, dear.
I know that, but they just feel like they're getting puffier.
He touches his eyelid.
Frida, if I thought for a moment that...
He looks over his shoulder, then leans and checks under the table. He returns to his paper.
Frida, I hope I can trust you.
What do you mean?
You're always telling me how much Moochie wants a dog, and...
Yes?
Well, I know you two wouldn't gang up on me, but... Well, sometimes I get the feeling that you're not in sympathy with my problem.
Wilson, I think you'd better eat your eggs.
She gives him a stern look and picks up her fork. He folds the paper and shifts his plate, then peers under the table again. In the boy's bedroom, Moochie ties his shoes.
Did Professor Plumcut say you had to stay a dog all the time?
He didn't exactly know.
Gee, I hope so.
You what?
Gosh, Wilby, you know how much I always wanted to have a dog.
Well, I'm not gonna be your dog.
I'll teach you all kinds of tricks. How to sit up, big, roll over, and all that stuff.
Cut it out, will you?
Boys!
You stay here. I'll tell him you're not hungry.
Hungry? I'm starved.
You like bones? Nice, meaty bones?
You know what I like. Hurry.
Moochie runs to the door.
Don't worry, boy. I'm gonna take good care of you.
Moochie leaves the bedroom.
Take care of me.
Wilby steps into the hall. Downstairs, Moochie drinks juice while Wilson reads the paper. Wilby sneaks down the stairs. Moochie's jaw drops. Wilson turns toward the stairs.
Pop? What's this, Dad?
He points at the paper.
Well, it's a sale on lawnmowers.
Interesting, isn't it?
Wilby passes.
Yes.
In the kitchen, Frida takes food to the dining room, leaving a plate of bacon behind. Wilby runs over to it and jumps on the counter. She re-enters.
How did you get in here? Go home! Go home! Don't you know it isn't safe for a dog in this house? Now go home!
My toast!
Toast coming up!
She puts toast on a plate and waves toward the door before entering the dining room. She sits and the swinging door reveals Wilby standing at the counter. Wilson looks over as the door swings, showing glimpses of Wilby until it closes. He glares at the door.
Frida.
Yes?
Is there a dog in the kitchen?
A dog?
Yes, dog. D-O-G.
Dog. What kind of a dog?
He sets down his cup.
That's all I wanted to know.
Pop, where are you going?
To the hall closet.
What for?
To get my shotgun.
You can't shoot your own.
My own what?
Your own neighbor's dog.
Oh, can I?
Pop, you can't shoot that.
Oh.
Wilby runs out the back door. Wilson chases him and aims a shotgun. He fires, spraying shirts on the line. Wilby runs out from behind metal barrels as Wilson checks the shirts. Wilson runs after Wilby as he sprints across the neighbor's lawns ahead of him. He reaches the Andrassy's mansion.
That's right, run, you cowardly flea bag! Next time you come on my property, I'll...
Wilby sits.
Well, I just will!
Wilson scratches his neck and leaves. Wilby looks behind him. In the kitchen, Francesca's butler makes bacon.
I just don't understand it. He's never stayed out all night before.
I'm sure, mademoiselle, he will return for his meals.
Well, if you'd watch him a little more carefully, these things wouldn't happen.
I'm sorry, mademoiselle. There you are. Where have you been all night, you wretched beast?
He lets Wilby in, who runs over to the bacon on the stove and jumps up with both paws.
Chiffon! Get down from there!
He gets off the stove and lies underneath a table in the middle of the kitchen. Francesca goes over to him and kneels beside him. She pets him.
Oh, Chiffon, mon petit, I've been so worried about you. What have you been up to, villain? Now you're all forgiven. Come on, how about some breakfast?
Wilby gets into her chair at the breakfast table.
Well, since when do you eat at the table? I'll get you some breakfast. Come on.
He hops off the chair as she goes to a cabinet.
Stefano, the door.
Francesca opens the cabinet and takes out a box and a dog bowl. Stefano removes his apron as he leaves the kitchen. Now he strides to the front door while buttoning his suit jacket. He opens the door to a suited man in a thin-brimmed hat.
Yes?
Dr. Andrassy is expecting me. My name is Thurm.
Yes, Mr. Thurm, come in.
Mr. Thurm enters the house, a zipped portfolio under his shoulder. Stefano shuts the door.
Please follow me.
Stefano leads him up a flight of carpeted stairs. In the kitchen, Wilby sits in front of the dog bowl full of kibble. He looks up from it to Francesca standing over him.
Well, what's the matter? I thought you were hungry. Well, go on.
He takes a tiny bite. Later, Stefano leaves a room with a pair of trousers on his arm. Downstairs, Wilby follows Francesca to the front door.
Oh, no, you don't. You get back in the kitchen. A la cuisine.
Stefano.
Mademoiselle.
Take Chiffon and see that he doesn't run away again. Do you understand?
Oui, mademoiselle.
Stefano grabs Wilby by the collar.
You're not always causing me trouble, aren't you?
He opens a door and puts him inside.
Get in there. I don't have time to watch you every minute.
He shuts it. He eyes the closet door under the stairs, then takes a key out of the lock. He smiles.
Now let's see you get out of there.
He puts the key in his jacket pocket and pats it, then walks away. In the storage room, Wilby jumps on the locked door. He faces away from the door and sits. High on the wall, trees show through a stained glass window. Wilby clambers onto a stack of boxes and paws at the glass. He topples backwards and the boxes fall on him. In the living room, Chiffon appears on the couch. In the storage closet, Wilby as a human pushes boxes off of him. He sits up, touching his forehead. He pulls his hand back and looks at it. He grabs it, then touches his face and hair.
It's me.
He gets to his feet and runs to the door, pulling on the doorknob. He flattens his back against it, then looks hurriedly through the boxes and stored objects. He pulls on drawers and a dusty wooden desk. One opens and he takes a screwdriver out of it. He wedges it between the door and frame and wiggles it. Next, he sticks it under the bolt in one of the door's hinges and pushes the bolt up. In the kitchen, Stefano pours liquid into a silver teapot. In the storage closet, Wilby pries the door off its hinges. He carries it into the entryway and sets it on its side. Chiffon corners him and he throws the screwdriver. He dashes for the door as the dog picks up the tool in his mouth. Wilby runs out of the house as Stefano comes into the entryway with a tea tray. He glances at the unhinged door, then pauses. He turns, staring at it, leaning against the doorframe. His brow knits. In front of him, Chiffon stands on his hind legs with the screwdriver in his mouth. He drops to his front paws, then sets the tool at Stefano's feet and trots out of the room. Stefano looks at it. He drops the tray.
Here, Wilby! Wilby! Here, Wilby! Wilby! Here, boy! Here, Wilby! Wilby! Here, boy! Here,
Wilby walks up behind Moochie, here, who searches through bushes.
Here, Wilby! Wilby?
What do you think you're doing?
Aw, gee.
What's the matter?
You're not a dog anymore.
You weren't going to put this dog collar on me, weren't you?
Well, you don't have to get sore about it.
Well, forget it, will you? I'm through with that dog business.
You sure?
No.
He frowns.
Where's Pop?
He's in there, cleaning his gun.
Wilby gulps, then heads for the house. Moochie stares at a collar and ball.
Well, I guess I'll have to hide these for a while.
Later at the dining room table.
Did you wash your hands?
Yep. Wilson, if you don't mind, we'll have dinner a little early tomorrow night. We're all going to the country club dance, you know.
Is my good suit clean?
Had it done last week. Wilby, why don't you take a girl to the dance?
Wilby? He's a little young for dating, isn't he?
Nonsense. Just because you didn't go out with girls until you were 23.
Well, that's not true. I was 20. Besides, I was shy.
He shakes his head.
Well, anyway, Wilby can't exist in the vacuum. Besides, you've already taken all his hobbies away from him.
Well, I'd say it was a big jump from bird's eggs to girls.
There is nothing wrong with girls. They're character building. Wilby, why don't you ask Allison to the dance?
Allison? Well, Buzz takes her to all the dances.
Oh, well, and someone else. There must be dozens of lovely girls who'd be delighted to go with you.
Why'd you have to take a girl? Why can't he go with me?
That's a great idea, that is.
Honey, why don't you take that new girl down the street, Dr. Andressi's daughter?
Francesca? Oh, no, I wouldn't have a chance with her.
You see who that is, will you, Wilby?
Wilby gets up from the table. Buzz waits outside. Wilby answers.
Wilby, could I talk to you in private for a second?
Wilby reluctantly steps out of the house, still carrying his napkin.
You know, Knothead, Wilby, you're the best friend I have.
Mm-mm, Buzz, not a cent.
Oh, now, Wilby, I don't come to see you just when I need money.
All right, I'm sorry.
The point is, I do have a problem. I'm supposed to take Allison to the country club dance.
I know.
Well, I happened to mention the dance to Francesca. You know how it is. She's a smooth worker. Before I knew it, I asked her to go, too.
Well, what do you want me to do?
All you have to do is come along and make a foursome out of it. You don't have to be with anybody.
I don't get you.
Don't you see? I'll handle it so that both girls think they're with me. Then everybody's happy.
Well, I don't see how that makes me happy.
Well, sure you do. It's fun. We're playing a harmless little joke on the girls. Well, what do you say?
Anything's better than going with my little brother. I just don't see how it's going to work.
Well, you just come along and watch the old master at work. Huh, buddy pal?
Buzz starts to leave.
Oh.
He turns back.
Say, I'll need gas for tomorrow night. You don't happen to have a buck on you, do you?
Wilby digs into his pocket. The next night, Wilby waits in Buzz's car as he leads Allison to it.
How nice you look, Wilby.
Thank you. So do you.
Thank you.
He wears a suit and tie, and she wears a dress with a corsage pinned to the chest. She gets in the car as Buzz holds the door for her. He runs to the driver's side and hops in. He makes a U-turn and parks across the street in front of the Andrassy's mansion. He hops out. Wilby stands as well.
Don't bother getting out, Wilby. I'll get your date for you.
He goes to the door.
Imagine taking the prettiest girl in town to the dance.
Well, you know.
Francesca certainly seems to find you attractive.
His eyes dart.
You really think so?
Of course, I'm not as sophisticated as she is. But there is something about you lately. Something unusual.
He stares wide-eyed at Allison. Buzz leads Francesca to the car.
You girls know one another.
Of course. Hello, Wilby.
Hi, Francesca.
I think you both better ride up in front with me. The wind in the back is murder on the hair.
Oh, you're so thoughtful, Buzz. Et très charmant, n'est-ce pas? Sorry, I don't speak French. Oh.
Francesca hugs her fur stole around her. In the back, Wilby rolls his eyes and slouches in the seat. At the country club, Buzz, Wilby, Francesca, and Allison enter. Wilson dances with a blonde woman while Frida dances with Moochie. Buzz takes Allison's shawl and leads her away from the others.
Allison, can you do something for me?
What is it?
Well, you know, this is Wilby's first dress-up date, and he's scared stiff.
Scared of what?
Francesca.
Well, that's silly. She's his date, isn't she?
Well, sure, but you know how shy he is. And Francesca's kind of spectacular. Well, it's got him tied up in knots.
So?
Well, I thought if you could dance the first dance with him, your old friends, it might break the ice for him.
Since when are you so concerned about Wilby?
Well, I like to see everyone happy. Thanks, Allison. You're a real doll.
He checks her shawl and they return to Wilby and Francesca.
Wilby, aren't you and Allison going to have the first dance?
Well, sure. How about it, Allison? Want to dance?
I'd love to.
He leads her to the dance floor.
Shall we?
May we?
She hands him her purse and he pockets it. As Wilby spins Allison, Buzz and Francesca dance.
They're sweet together, aren't they?
Wilby and Allison smile, his hand on her waist as they sway.
Yeah, that's what makes it so tough.
What does?
Well, Wilby's got a tremendous crush on Allison. Trouble is, he's so shy. Allison goes more for the sophisticated type. She can't see Wilby for sour apples.
He is very nice, isn't he?
Don't you worry. There's nothing you can do about it.
Both couples dance on the crowded floor.
Buzz, I have a rather amusing idea.
What's that?
Well, suppose I make a little fuss over Wilby and pretend to be interested in him.
What, you mean make Allison jealous?
Oh, just a little bit.
Well, you're a genius. Well, I never would have thought of that in a million years.
He pulls her closer and rolls his eyes.
The next number will be a ladies' tag dance.
Francesca pulls Wilby onto the dance floor as Buzz gathers a frowning Allison into his arms. The couples dance next to each other, Francesca smiling at Wilby. Allison breaks from Buzz and taps Francesca on the shoulder.
Tag dance. Pardon? It's customary.
Allison starts dancing with Wilby, and Francesca wears a confused look as she joins Buzz. Wilby's parents watch from a table as Francesca taps Allison on the shoulder.
The custom, is it not?
She steals Wilby and they dance. Allison glares at her as she starts dancing again with Buzz. Allison tries to cut in, but the blonde woman who danced with Wilson beats her to it. She returns to Buzz as he stares at Wilby.
What's the big idea?
You told me to break the ice, didn't you?
Yeah, fine. Break it. Don't melt it.
Excuse me.
She weaves through the crowd back over to Wilby and taps his partner on the shoulder. As she cuts in, Buzz stands next to them with his hands on his hips. The blonde woman taps Buzz's chest and opens her arms. At Wilson's table.
You know, it's amazing. All those pretty girls, they actually seem to enjoy dancing with Wilby.
Then why not?
Well, I'd have bet anything he was going to be the All-American Wallflower.
And there are a lot of things about your son that you don't know.
Moochie looks over at them.
The next number is a Paul Revere.
The lights dim. Both Francesca and Allison turn to Wilby, but Francesca gets there first, and they start waltzing. Buzz grabs Allison. Grinning, Wilby rests his cheek against Francesca's hair at Wilson's table.
Shall we, dear?
Love to.
Excuse us, Moochie.
Oh, no more cake, sweetheart.
Wilson leads Frida to the dance floor. She steps into his arms and they waltz. As Wilby dances, he shuts his eyes. White, shaggy locks now stick out from his hair. Moochie runs over to the buffet table and grabs a sandwich off of it. As Francesca also dances with her eyes closed, more white hair covers Wilby's head. Oblivious, he wears a dreamy look. Moochie looks up from his nearly full plate and spots Wilby. He gapes. The couples break apart and start a room-wide do-si-do, switching partners around the dance floor. Wilby wears a broad grin, white bangs hanging over his forehead and tufts of white hair over his ears.
Wilby!
Moochie weaves through them desperately.
Wilby!
Black now covers Wilby's nose.
Wilby!
Wilby gracefully changes partners, then Moochie tackles him behind potted plants.
What's the big idea?
Get down!
Now don't give me trouble, Mooch.
You've got trouble. Look at yourself.
He lifts fur-covered hands.
No, no, not here, not now, please.
He dives behind more plants. Moochie leans over them.
Wilby, are you all right?
At Francesca's, Chiffon disappears from his dog bed. The bone in his mouth drops. At the country club, Wilby, as a sheepdog, emerges from the plants.
Oh, boy, you're a dog again.
What are you so happy about?
Gosh, Wilby. You know you're a lot more fun as a dog than you are as my brother.
Shut up and get me out of here.
Okay, boy. I don't want anything to happen to you now.
Moochie peers around the corner at the dance floor where the couples waltz blissfully.
Come on, sneak out that way.
Wilby gets low to the ground and crawls past couches on a landing. Dancing with Buzz, Francesca looks over and spots him.
Chiffon, what in the world is he doing here?
Who?
Chiffon. Chiffon! Get him, Buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Wilby scrambles off the landing and darts past the dancers, headed straight for Buzz. Buzz grabs him, but Wilby tears free and runs around a table. Buzz falls into a couch, chasing him. Wilby rubs dancers as he runs by.
Here's that blasted dog again. Get away! What's he doing here?
Wilby leaps out a window.
See you later, boy.
Look out!
Buzz jumps after him.
Come here, you mangy mutt!
Now he chases him through the parking lot.
Come here!
Buzz slips as Wilby dashes between the cars. Buzz gets to his feet, looking around. Back at the Daniels home, Wilson, Frida, and Moochie return.
Come on, Moochie. Time for bed, dear.
Wilson answers the phone.
Hello? Wilby, where are you? Just a minute. Well, it's a little late, isn't it, about time you were getting home?
Papa, is he all right?
Are you up? Yes, he's all right.
Well, we wondered what happened to you. I suppose you went chasing after that girl's dog, too.
Wilby stands in a phone booth.
Is it all right if you stay at Buzz's house tonight?
It's all right, Pop.
Yes, it's all right, Wilby.
Holding the phone, Wilson looks back at Moochie. At the gas station with the phone booth, a police car stops and Johnny's partner gets out. He leans in the passenger window.
Hey, Kelly, got a dime for the phone?
Officer Johnny Kelly hands a coin to his partner, who walks toward the phone booth. He stops. Wilby stands on his hind legs inside of it. The officer turns on his heel, then freezes. Mouth open, he slowly faces the phone booth. It looks empty. He smiles and walks back over to it. The booth's door opens and Wilby trots out.
Whoops. Sorry, Officer Hanson. Bye.
Hanson frowns, staring at the payphone. He walks quickly back to the waiting police car and gets in.
Kelly, here's your dime. Can we go now, please?
I thought you were going to call home.
I changed my mind. Let's go.
You said it was important.
I know what I said. It was a whim. Sometimes I'm just full of little whims. Can we go now, please?
But you see...
Forget it, I said. Forget it.
All right. I'll forget it.
They drive off. Buzz's car arrives at Allison's, both women inside. He starts to get out.
Don't bother, Buzz.
Allison gets out.
Good night, Francesca. I hope you find your dog.
Thank you, Allison.
Good night.
Good night.
Buzz turns the car around and stops with a jolt at Francesca's house. He starts to get out again.
In the words of your charming other date, don't bother.
Oh, wait. Francesca, I can explain everything.
Good night.
Well, that's gratitude for you.
She turns on him.
I beg your pardon.
Well, here I almost break my neck trying to catch that dog of yours. He drags me all over a parking lot, and now you won't even listen to me.
So?
And besides that, I've got a very deep cut over my eye, and it'll probably be infected by the time I get home.
She softens.
Oh, well, I guess I don't blame you.
Come on inside. I'll clean your scratch.
Now you're talking.
He walks with her toward the house. Inside, Wilby lies in Chiffon's bed.
What the?
He pulls the bone out from under him with his mouth and tosses it to the floor.
What a night.
Stefano answers the door.
Is Chiffon here?
Yes, mademoiselle. He just came home. He's in the kitchen.
I'm really quite displeased with you, Stefano. I distinctly ask you to keep Chiffon locked up tonight.
Mademoiselle, I did my best. I left him in the kitchen, carefully locked the door. Still, he escaped.
Very well. We won't discuss it now.
Wilby pokes out of a swinging door.
Please go in and sit down. I want to see Chiffon is all right.
Will you forget about that mutt for once? Like I said, it was all Wilby's fault that I got into this mess.
Wilby's?
Yeah, it's all his fault. Because I have a soft heart. I'm just trying to do him a favor. Ouch, that stings.
There, it's all done now.
She dabs his scratch with antiseptic.
Wilby didn't have enough nerve to get himself a date, so he cooked up this whole thing.
Why are you blaming this all on Wilby?
Oh, don't let him fool you. He's not as dumb as he looks. Why, behind that simple face... Well, I don't want to talk about my best friend like that.
Wilby watches.
Let's talk about us. You know, Francesca, I've never met a girl like you. No, I'm not kidding. There's something about you that...
Chiffon! There you are. What a bad dog you've been, mon chéri. Running away again and scaring poor Francesca half to death. Bad boy.
I sure hate to see you waste all that on a mutt.
Why? What do you mean?
I mean forget about tonight. Forget Wilby and the whole mess. Like I said before, let's talk about us. You know, Francesca, the first time I saw you, I said to myself, I said, Buzz, there's just the girl for you. Does he have to keep looking at me like that? Look, fella, I've had just about enough trouble for one night. Now beat it.
Wilby jumps on the couch between Buzz and Francesca. As she pets him, the large dog sits in Buzz's lap.
Will you get lost?
He throws Wilby off.
Buzz!
Wilby jumps on Buzz and takes him to the ground.
Get off, will you? Francesca!
She fell. Stop it!
He flipped his lid. Let go!
That's your feet.
Get him off it.
She grabs Wilby.
I'm into you now. Stop it this instant. I think you'd better leave, Buzz.
Okay. I'm beginning to get the point. Your dog doesn't like me.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I can find my own way out.
Bad dog, you.
Good night.
Good night.
Buzz leaves.
You behaved very badly tonight, you fool. Buzz is really a nice boy. A little, shall we say, conceited? Come on.
In a study, Dr. Andrassy reads paperwork. Francesca walks up to the door with Wilby. She knocks and he conceals the paper.
Yes?
She enters.
I just wanted to say goodnight, Father.
You have a pleasant time, dear?
Yes, thank you. But the odd thing was I found Chiffon at the dance.
Chiffon was there?
I don't understand how he keeps getting out of the house. May I leave him with you tonight?
Certainly, dear. I'm sure he won't get away from me. Good night, Francesca.
Good night. Now, you behave yourself. Oh, you stupid, wonderful dog.
Mwah! She kisses him and his floppy ears lift up and wiggle. She leaves the study as Stefano arrives with Mr. Thurm. Stefano ushers him in, then leaves them.
Thurm, what is the meaning of this? You were asked not to come here at night.
It's most urgent, Doctor. I dare not use the phone.
Is anything wrong at the missile plant?
On the contrary, good news. I've been transferred to Section 32.
Section 32. Excellent.
With what I've already given you, this should be all you need.
How soon can you get it here?
Taking all necessary precautions, I say tomorrow night by 8 o'clock.
That means that the complete mechanism of the undersea hydrogen missile will be in our hands.
Yes, sir.
Now we must get it out of the country. Immediately.
Crouched, Wilby sneaks to the ajar door, but Andrassy shuts it.
Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't, my friend. You're not getting out of this house tonight. All right, up on the couch. Up.
Wilby trods away as Andrassy stands.
Good night, Thurm. I'll expect you tomorrow night at 8.
He opens the door for Thurm, then shuts it behind him. He locks the door as Wilby pants on the couch. Andrassy walks over to him and Wilby lowers his head.
I certainly would like to know what has gotten into you lately.
Andrassy pets his shaggy head, then goes to his desk. He checks his watch, pockets the door key in a silk robe, picks up a thin stack of papers, then turns off the desk lamp. He turns off a lamp next to the couch, then takes off his robe as he retreats to a bedroom connected to the study. He shuts the bedroom door.
Spies. I've got to tell somebody.
Wilby goes to a window seat and looks out.
I've got to get out of here.
He circles behind the couch to another closed door and nudges it open with his paw and nose. He enters a dark bathroom and looks around. A towel dangles out of a laundry chute.
The laundry chute.
He hops up onto it.
Well, here goes.
He clambers into it, then leaps out the other end. He lands in a laundry basket, which falls over, then hurries to the laundry room door. Tail wagging, he grabs the doorknob with his teeth. He looks behind him, then jumps his front legs onto a wall, an open window out of reach above him. Nearby, a ladder leans against the wall. Wilby takes one of the rungs in his mouth and pulls it into an upright position. He opens it further, then drags it along as he inches backwards. His short tail wags as he moves the ladder away from the wall. He goes to the other side of the ladder, bites down on a rung, and scoots the ladder to the left. He walks beneath the ladder as he circles to the first side, then gently climbs his front paws up a few rungs.
Easy. Easy.
He pushes it forward until it snaps together and leans against the wall beneath the window. He climbs the ladder awkwardly, pulling his hind legs onto it. He looks up at the window, his tongue hanging out. He struggles up to the higher rungs. The ladder slides to the floor.
What'll I do now?
During the day, Wilson walks to his front door as Moochie reads a comic on the porch.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, son. Will be home yet?
No, sir.
Wilson takes a book from inside the comic.
What's this you're reading?
He flips through it, then reads the cover.
How to Train Your Dog.
Moochie stands.
Gosh, Pop, I thought someday you might change your mind about dogs.
Let me tell you something, young man. As long as I've got a mind, there'll never be a dog in this house. How to train...
Wilson goes inside. Moochie throws down his comic and sits with his chin in his hands. In the laundry room, Wilby slides a suitcase on top of a bucket.
There.
Their stacked rest on a stack of old papers, a wicker basket, and the laundry basket. Wilby takes a few steps back, looking at the pile. He climbs up it unsteadily, getting his front paws on the suitcase, then pokes his head through the window. He reaches his paws into it, then hoists himself through. The stack falls below him and the window shuts. Now, he dashes out of the bushes and over to his yard, where Moochie pouts on the porch.
Hey, Mooch!
Moochie looks over, then runs to the bushes at the corner of the house where Wilby waits for him.
Is that you, Wilby?
Well, now, who'd you think it was?
Gosh, boy, I've been worried about you.
Will you stop patting me? I don't like it.
Where you been?
Look, Mooch, we've got to get some help. And fast. That house is full of spies.
Spies? Oh, well, that'll be fun playing.
This isn't a game. It's serious.
Oh, we'll be.
Listen, they're stealing something from the missile plant.
The missile plant?
I don't know what it is exactly, but they call it, Section 32. They're sending it out of the country tonight.
Wow, I better tell Pop.
Pop?
Sure, he'll know what to do. Now you just stay out of sight.
Okay.
Moochie darts off. Seated in the living room, Wilson kicks off his shoes and places his feet on an ottoman. He reads the paper as Moochie enters.
Pop, Pop, can I talk to you for a minute?
Certainly, Moochie. What is it?
Will you please put down that paper? It's very urgent.
All right.
I just found out something.
What did you find out?
You know those people down the street, Dr. Andrussy and them?
Yeah.
They're spies.
Spies, huh? Wow.
Pop, I'm not kidding. They're stealing something from the missile plant. Something called Section 32.
Section 32. That's very interesting.
But, Pop, you gotta believe me. We gotta do something about it.
Moochie, I'm surprised at you. I knew we had one woolly-headed son in this family,
Wilby
but
isn't woolly-headed. He's the one that heard him talking.
Oh, he's the one that heard it. That explains the whole thing. Run along now, huh, Moochie?
But, Pop, we can't just let him get away.
Moochie, run along.
Pop.
Moochie?
Moochie retreats.
Hey.
He leaves the house as Wilson returns to reading. Outside, Moochie marches back over to Wilby, his head hanging.
No soap.
I guess I'll have to give him a shock treatment.
Poor Pop.
Where's the gun?
In the hall closet. I get the key.
Well, here goes.
Wilby and Moochie walk alongside each other. In the house, Wilson reads the paper as Moochie quietly opens the front door. He waves Wilby in. Wilby treads into the living room and sits beside Wilson's chair as Moochie watches worriedly from the cracked front door.
Pop?
Yes, Wilby?
I've got something to tell you.
Wilson reads.
But I'm afraid.
Well, you never have to be afraid to talk to me, Wilby.
He scratches.
Maybe sometimes I'm a little impatient with you, but that's because you're my son. I want you to be something special.
Yes, sir?
So you just tell me what's troubling you. I'm sure it can't be anything too serious, but whatever it is, I promise you I'll understand.
Wilby stares.
Really, Pop?
You can bank on it, Wilby.
Shake on it?
Certainly I'll shake on it, Wilby.
Wilby lifts his white, fluffy paw and Wilson shakes it. He looks at it.
No!
Oh.
did it.
Wilson faints. Mucci opens the door and Wilby runs out of the house. In the kitchen, Frida cooks.
Frida.
Wilson?
Frida.
Wilson, is that you?
She rushes out. Outside, Wilby and Mucci hide in the bushes next to the house.
What are we gonna do now?
We've gotta get help.
Look!
The police.
They race over to Hanson and Kelly's police car.
I'd like to report some spies, please.
Hanson smiles.
All right, what's the name?
Mucci. Montgomery Daniels.
Daniels? You any relation to that kid who tipped us off about that gangster last week?
Yes, sir. Wilby's my brother. But he didn't know it was the new dean at the Divinity College.
Remember, Kelly, last week when I used to be a sergeant?
No kidding, officer. We need help.
Wilby braces his paws on the window.
Who are you?
Wilby Daniels.
Wilby Daniels. I knew it. I knew it. First time that dog spoke to me, I said to my wife...
Easy now, Hanson. It's all right. He's probably some kid dressed up in a dog suit or something.
That's right, officer.
Sure. That's how we spied on the spies.
All right. Take off the dog suit.
Can't. I don't have anything on underneath.
You see, Kelly? You can't. You ought to know that.
All right, you two. Now, that's enough. You stop bothering Officer Hanson before we take you down to the station.
Fine. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Oh, no, you don't. Not in this car.
But the spies...
Now, I'm afraid they're going to have to keep. You see, there's a landing of invaders from Mars over by the stockyards, and I'm afraid we're going to have to get over there.
The police drive off. A town clock strikes 2 p.m. Mucci and Wilby sit.
Gosh, Wilby, 2 o'clock. We gotta think of something.
Yeah.
I got it!
Stefano grabs Wilby.
Here you are, you miserable beast.
You can't take him! He's my brother!
Stefano's eyes narrow.
Your what?
My pal.
Stefano puts a leash on Wilby.
This is the last time you'll ever get away, I can promise you that.
He drags him.
Come on, you devil. Come along before I... Come on!
Mucci's eyes widen and he runs away, in the house.
Oh. Wilson! Wilson, oh, no. Now don't you dare move. I'll get the spirits of ammonia.
Mucci enters.
Pop, snap out of it. We've got to get moving.
Oh, Mucci. Mucci, is it true about Wilby? Did I see and hear what I thought I saw?
You sure did. Wilby's a dog now.
No. My own boy, my own flesh and blood. Somehow, some way, I failed him as a father. How did it happen, Mucci?
I'll tell you later. Hurry.
Are we going somewhere?
Don't you understand? We gotta get help. We gotta stop those spies.
What spies?
Remember? I told you about them.
Spies? That's right, you did. Now, don't you worry about a thing, son. I'm in this with you all the way. Now, come on, we'll have to get some help.
Not that way. This way.
They rush to the door.
Wilson Daniels, you close that door this minute. You are not stepping a foot from this house.
Frida, you stay out of this. This is a job that calls for cool heads. Come on, would you? Oh, here, this way.
In Agent Hackett's office.
Calm down, Mr. Daniels. I just want to get this thing straight.
He gestures and Wilson sits.
Now, you say that this information came from your son.
Yes, my older son. He was right there and he heard them talking.
And they knew he was there?
Oh, I'm sure they knew he was there, all right, but...
Well, doesn't that strike you as rather odd, Mr. Daniels, that they'd speak of such confidential matters in front of your son?
Oh, no, it's not odd at all. You see, they probably didn't pay any attention to him. You see, my son happens to be a dog.
Hackett leans over.
Your son is a dog?
Yes. Well, now, don't get me wrong. He's not a dog all the time, just part of the time.
Oh, I see.
Hackett straightens.
Well, thank you for coming, Mr. Daniels. We'll look into the matter.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You don't believe me?
Ow!
Oh,
I'm
sorry. It's all right. I just don't happen to have my shoes on. Don't you believe me?
Of course,
Well, then,
course.
Aren't you going to do something about it now?
Well, we must proceed with caution, Mr. Daniels. Dr. Andrassy is a well-respected man.
But you haven't got time for caution. Don't you understand this thing that they stole, whatever it is being shipped out of the country tonight?
I don't suppose you have any idea precisely what this thing may be.
No, I don't know precisely. All I know is that it's something called Section 32 or something like that.
Section 32?
That's right.
Are you sure?
Well, that's what the dog said. My son.
Please sit down again, Mr. Daniels.
Well, I don't think so. Right?
He sits.
Now, you still insist a dog told you about this?
Yes. Well, why don't you ask my younger son, Moochie? He's the dog's brother.
Just now, it's you I'm interested in, Mr. Daniels.
Me? You don't think I had anything to do with this? Now, you listen to me. I came here in good faith. I told you a simple, straightforward story. And just because I happen to have a son who's a dog, you look at me as though I...
Two men enter.
You look at me as though I had wheels in my head or something. Just you remember, I'm a government man myself, you know.
We have the utmost respect for the members of the United States Post Office Department, Mr.
Right.
Daniels. Just now, I wonder if you'd mind repeating your story to one of my colleagues.
I'd be glad to. Now, all I ask is that you gentlemen keep an open mind.
Not them, Mr. Daniels. Would you step into the hall with these gentlemen, please?
Well...
They grab him.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Hackett's colleague stands.
It's fantastic, but he knows about Section 32.
How could he?
That's what I've got to find out. Meantime, check every man, every sketch, every piece of equipment in that department.
That'll take time.
Get moving.
His colleague leaves, in the hall.
All right, Mr. Daniels. This way, please.
They head down the hallway.
I think you'll like Dr. Galvin.
Doctor?
Oh, it's a kind of honorary title.
Well, now, just a minute here.
The men usher Wilson and Moochie into a room with a sign on the door reading Dr. J.W. Galvin, psychiatrist, at Andrassy's.
I have just returned from the museum. I have our plan worked out. Come upstairs. I'll go over it with you.
Yes, sir.
Is my daughter at home?
No, sir, not yet. She went shopping.
Good.
Stefano and Andrassy leave the kitchen, passing Wilby in the dog bed. Wilby gets out of the dog bed and follows them.
The girl must know absolutely nothing of what is happening here.
I understand, sir.
As it is, with matters coming to a head, I don't quite know what to do about her.
It is unfortunate Mademoiselle happens to be your daughter. Otherwise, the solution would be quite obvious.
In any case, Stefano, the problem is mine. I'll decide what to do when the time comes.
They lean over Andrassy's desk.
This is a sketch of the packing case containing the small fossils. Understand me clearly. From here on, the slightest hitch will be disastrous.
You can depend on me, Doctor.
When Therm arrives with the components of Section 32, take them to my office at the museum. There you will find the packing case containing the Etruscan fossils.
Suppose the authorities open the case.
Wilby turns into a human.
They may, but I doubt that they will tamper very much with such a fragile and priceless collection dispatched to such a distinguished man. The packing case will be shipped on the midnight plane, consigned ostensibly to the museum in Rome.
You mean Anders himself will pick up the shipment?
Silence! You have instructions never to mention his name.
What harm can it do? Save for the dog downstairs, we are alone in the house.
Very well. Now, suppose we go over what you must do, point by point.
Wilby crawls to the door, but Andrassy slams it and yanks him up.
What are you doing here?
Here?
Stefano holds a gun.
Oh, here? Well, as a matter of fact, I'm glad you asked me. I was wondering if you could give Francesca a message for me. There's going to be a barbecue at Dawson's Grove next Saturday. And I was thinking if I was...
Stefano slaps Wilby.
I know what you heard, you, and I know how to make you forget.
No, not now.
Why not?
Not yet.
What else can we do with him?
I said not now. Tie him up and lock him in the dressing room.
Stefano drags him out, holding the gun. In Dr. Galvin's office, the clock reads 6:30.
You've gained access to certain secret information. Now, fearful of the consequences, you transfer the burden of guilt to your second self. A submerged second identity known only to you.
What second identity?
Now, this is very important, Mr. Daniels. Do you often visualize yourself as a dog?
What?
Now, let's be honest.
He leans close to Wilson.
Do you often stand in front of your shaving mirror, and instead of your own face, you see a shiny, moist, black shoe button nose? A strong, intelligent head?
No!
Excuse me, sir. It's getting awfully late, and Mom will be worried about us.
Well, I don't see any reason why you can't go.
Well, good. I've had enough of this.
No, I was referring to the boy. I'm afraid I'll have to ask you to remain a while longer, Mr. Daniels. Just a few more questions.
Well, look, why don't you ask him a few questions? He knows more about this whole thing than I do. He'll tell you I'm telling the truth.
Perhaps we should question the boy. There may be a hereditary factor present between father and son.
Can it wait, sir? I ought to be going.
Yes, they say heredity sometimes plays a role in lycanthropy.
Who are you calling a liar?
Lycanthropy, Mr. Daniels, is the alleged practice of turning humans into witches and werewolves.
Well, don't be ridiculous. My son isn't any werewolf. He's just a big, baggy, stupid-looking, shaggy dog.
Pop, I'm worried about Wilby. He may be in trouble.
What do you think I'm in?
Now, just a few questions, my lad.
It won't be any good, sir. I don't know anything about all this.
Moochie.
What did you say?
I said I don't know anything, and I'd like to go home, please.
Moochie.
Then you don't believe your brother is a dog?
Gosh, sir, would you?
Hackett eyes Wilson.
Moochie.
And your father made up this entire story about the dog. It was his idea.
Pop's a great storyteller. Kids come from all around just to hear him.
Moochie.
Hackett stands.
Sorry, Pop. I had to do it.
Wilson stares at him.
Betts, I'm letting the boy go. Please see that he gets home in a company car.
Yes, sir.
All right, son.
Moochie stands and Hackett leads him to the door.
Moochie.
You go back to my office and Mr. Betts will take care of you. Go ahead.
Hackett shuts the door.
Moochie.
May I, Doctor?
Oh, of course.
Now, Mr. Daniels, we've had our little joke about the dog. Suppose we get down to cases. I want to know just how, when, and where you found out about Section 32.
Wilson nods, opens his mouth, then shrugs. Later, the town clock strikes 8, and Andrassy's Therm enters the study.
Did you get it?
Yes, I have it.
He takes out a pocket watch with a mechanical device inside.
Section 32, complete.
Good.
But we're in trouble. Something's gone wrong at the plant.
What do you mean?
An investigation. My name was brought up. I had to answer a few ticklish questions.
You knew the right answers, I trust?
Of course, but I didn't like the sound of them. You know, I'm not even sure that I wasn't followed here.
Tied up, Wilby listens.
We'll have to use the emergency plan. The other is too risky now. What about the boat?
Tied up at Walker's dock, ready to go.
Very well. Bring the sedan around.
What about the boy?
We'll be out of the country before they find him.
Stefano leaves the study. Francesca exits her room as Stefano descends the stairs. She watches him suspiciously, then goes to the study door. Inside.
I don't understand what could have gone wrong. You're sure that...
Francesca strides in.
Yes, what do you want?
Well, I wanted to say I'm going out with Buzz Miller.
I'm sorry, Francesca, but I've been called away for a few days, and I would like you to come with me.
Well, isn't this rather short notice?
She scrutinizes Therm.
Where are we going?
I have no time for questions. Please get ready.
Therm stands behind her.
Well, if you don't mind, I think I'd prefer to stay here.
You'll do as I say.
She heads to the door, but Therm shuts it and turns her.
What is this?
Francesca, you're an intelligent girl. I don't believe I have to make any needless threats. Take her to her room, see that she takes what she needs. And hurry.
Holding her arm, Therm forces her out of the room. In the dressing room, Wilby twists his rope-bound wrists, a cloth gagging his mouth. Meanwhile, Hackett's driver drops off Moochie.
Here you are, son.
Thank you very much, sir.
Moochie gets out of the car and the driver leaves. Moochie walks halfway up his lawn, then looks between his door and down the street. He runs across the neighboring lawns. He reaches the Andrassy's mansion and stops behind a potted tree. He peers around it, then dives into the bushes as the door opens. Francesca and Therm exit first, Therm gripping her arm and carrying a suitcase. Andrassy follows, carrying two suitcases. They go up to a waiting car.
We don't want to attract attention. Drive at a normal speed.
Thurm, Francesca, and Andrassy pile into the car's back seat. Stefano drives. Mucci watches, hidden in the bushes. The car pulls out of the driveway. In the mansion's dressing room, Wilby wriggles on the floor, his wrists tied to his legs. Mucci climbs in one of the mansion's windows.
Wilby! Here, Wilby! Wilby!
In the dressing room, Wilby lifts his head, tufts of dog fur now sticking out of it. He lies back down on the floor. Meanwhile, in the living room, in the dressing room, Wilby struggles.
Here, Wilby.
He runs upstairs.
Here, Wilby. Here, Wilby. Wilby.
In here, Mucci. In here.
Wilby looks in the mirror, seeing a black dog nose replacing his own. Mucci runs into the study as Wilby, now a sheepdog, pulls the rope. Mucci hurries to the dressing room as Wilby takes off his gag. Mucci opens the door.
Wilby, what's going on?
Come on, they're getting away.
Meanwhile, Buzz arrives with flowers.
They're heading for Walker's dock.
Wilby and Mucci run over to Buzz on the porch.
Hey, look out!
Wilby jumps into the driver's seat of Buzz's car.
Someday I'm gonna murder that dog!
Wilby drives away.
Hey, you mangy cur! Come back with my car!
It speeds off. Meanwhile, Officer Hansen and Officer Kelly cruise in their police car. Wilby blasts by them in Buzz's car. Hansen slowly looks forward, frowning. As he blinks rapidly, a corner of his mouth lifts, then falls again. In the street, Buzz and Mucci wave them down.
Wait! Stop!
Let! Stop!
Wait! Officer! Officer! Officer, get him! Get him! That shaggy dog just stole my car!
Shaggy dog. It's no use, Kelly. I've just got to face it. I got to face it. Follow that dog!
The police cruiser makes a U-turn and speeds off.
Hey, wait! Wait for us!
Never mind, Buzz. Here comes my car!
Parked outside his house, Wilson tiredly gets out of his car. He shuts the door, his bow tie undone.
Montgomery, don't you ever speak to me again.
Come on, Pop. You just can't let him get
away.
Wait,
you don't know what you're asking me to do.
Oh, please.
You know what I've gone through for the last few hours.
But my car.
Look, please. Look, I'm not a well man.
They force him back into the car. Down the road, Stefano drives the Andrassys and Thurm. Wilby drives Buzz's car behind them, wind-blowing his shaggy fur. He lifts a paw as he turns. The police car gives chase. On a dark road, Wilby hangs his head out of the side of the car, two headlights getting closer in front of him. He barrels through them, passing two motorcyclists, which split apart as he drives by.
Chicken.
On another street, the police car turns. Inside.
Patrol car 12, Hansen, code 22. We are pursuing stolen car headed west on Highway 16 at high rate of speed. Request other police units be notified. Repeat. Patrol car 12, we are pursuing stolen car traveling west on Highway 16. Description of suspect as follows. Large, shaggy dog. Color, dirty white. Brown patches. Breed, unknown.
Have him repeat that description.
Car 12, repeat description of suspect. Over.
Repeat description of suspect as follows. Large, shaggy dog. Color, dirty white with brown patches.
Hansen, this is Captain Scanlon. What's the matter with you?
Patrol car 12, Hansen. We are pursuing stolen car. Suspect identified as large, shaggy dog. Out.
Hansen, answer me. Answer me.
Hansen turns off the radio.
Hansen, do you hear me? Report in here immediately. Hansen! Patrol car 7. Mercer, are you there?
Patrol car 7, Mercer, over.
Mercer,
There are two loonies by the name of Hanson and Kelly, masquerading as police officers. Now they're headed your way. Pick them up and bring them in here immediately. Over.
Patrol car 7, Mercer. Message clear. Acknowledge and out. Poor old Hanson.
Wilby drives quickly down the dark road in Hanson's car.
There he is.
Buzz's car drives ahead of them, just past their headlights. Wilby's head hangs out of the side of the car. He makes a quick right turn and the officers follow. Wilby looks back, then forward as the police car's headlights loom behind him. Hanson and Kelly exchange a glance, then pull up alongside Buzz's car. They park in front of the car as it slows to a stop and get out. They run over to Wilby and Hanson grabs his collar.
Now get out of there!
Hanson pulls him out.
No, you don't. Come here. Over here. Here. Right. Bend over that hood.
Wilby puts his front paws on the hood of the car and Hanson frisks him.
Hanson. What are you...
Well, it's possible. Isn't it?
Look out!
Ouch! Ouch! He bit me!
I don't see anything.
Wilby drives off in the police car. Kelly pulls out his gun. He shoots.
No, Kelly, no, that's our car!
They take a few steps forward, then freeze. They exchange a look, then hurry to Buzz's car. They squeeze into the small convertible beside each other, shut the doors, and drive off. Hanson stands in his seat holding his hat. In the police car, Wilby drives with his paws on the steering wheel. He arcs around a turn. In Andrews's car, headlights appear on the road behind them.
We're being followed. Open it up.
Andrews's car blasts down the road with the police car close behind. Mercer and his partner watch them pass from a police car concealed behind a tree. Mercer gapes at his partner.
That wasn't Hanson.
He picks up his radio.
Patrol car 7, Mercer. Patrol car 7, Mercer. Request additional instructions. Over.
You've got your instructions. Bring in Hanson and Kelly.
Wish to report. Mobile unit assigned to officers Hanson and Kelly passed this point a moment ago. Officers Hanson and Kelly were not in it. Over.
Really? Well, may I ask who was in it?
A large, shaggy dog, sir. Description as follows. Color, dirty white, brown patches. Was driving the mobile.
Would you have them send my car around, please?
That is, unless it's been stolen by a purple kangaroo wearing a checkered vest.
Yes, sir.
On the road, Buzz's car flies past Mercer's police cruiser. Mercer starts the car and drives after it. In Buzz's car, Kelly drives as Hanson looks over the windshield. He glances back at Mercer's car and waves with a friendly smile.
No! No! No!
The cruiser cuts them off.
No! No! No, you idiots! No! No!
Well, no. Well, if it isn't Hot Rod Hanson speeding, and you who used to be a sergeant, huh?
All right, Mercer. Very cute. Now, come on, let's get
going. Sorry, we're to bring you in.
Ed, I can't go back without that dog.
Sorry, I got the word from Scanlon, loud and clear.
Ed, please, for the love of a fellow officer. Well, we were rookies together. I married your sister, Felice. I loaned you my dress uniform for the Shriners Convention. Ed, don't these things mean anything to you?
All right. I'll take a chance, Hanson.
But you just better pray you know what you're doing.
They pile into the police car. Now, Andrusy's car stops at a dock. Stefano, Andrusy, Thurm, and Francesca get out, Andrusy gripping her arm. They rush to a waiting boat tied to the end of the small dock. Meanwhile, Wilby arrives at the dock in the police car. He stops and gets out, then bounds to the edge of the dock.
Cast off, Thurm!
Wilby leaps onto the boat, knocking Thurm into the water. He climbs up the bow to the cockpit.
Hey, get down from there!
He bites Andrusy's sleeve, then jumps over the windshield and tackles him. Stefano wrestles him off. Andrassy takes the wheel as Wilby clambers on top of Stefano. He gets off him and bites Andrassy's pant leg. Stefano grabs a spear.
Stefano, let go of me!
You devil, you, I'll fix you!
No, Chiffon, look out!
Francesca fights off Stefano.
Stop it, you...
Chiffon, stop it!
Stefano knocks Francesca. She falls out of the boat into the water. Wilby jumps off the boat and swims after her as she floats face down. Gradually, he reaches her. Meanwhile, the four police officers arrive and get out of Mercer's cruiser. They hurry past the other cars and down the dock. Andrassy's boat speeds away.
Mercer, call the harbor police. Have them stop that boat.
Wilson parks behind the other cars, and he, Buzz, and Moochie get out.
Oh!
What's the matter, Mr. Daniel?
Go ahead, go ahead. I'm all right. I just broken my foot.
Moochie and Buzz run around the cars as Mercer quickly returns to his. Therm swims to the dock. Meanwhile, Wilby splashes as he swims, carrying Francesca. Buzz sprints to the shore as they reach it. Buzz runs into the water and picks up a limp Francesca as Wilby steps onto the shore. In the police car, Mercer uses the radio.
Apprehend 32-foot speed cruiser headed towards Keeley's Point. Over.
Buzz places Francesca on a pile of fishing nets near the dock. Wilby lies in the sand next to them on his side. Francesca slowly awakens.
You all right?
Buzz.
There now. Everything's under control.
But how in the world did you get here? The last thing I remember, Chiffon.
Don't you worry your pretty little head. Old Buzz got here just in the nick of time, that's all.
But Buzz...
Now don't thank me. It was nothing. Nothing at all.
She loses consciousness.
Hey, Francesca.
Wilby jumps on Buzz.
Hey, what's your big idea? What's the matter with you? Let go of me! What are you mad at me? I didn't do anything. Ouch, look out, will you, Chiffon? Let go, you silly monkey! Mudwork! Ouch, stop it! Cut it out!
Another police car arrives with Hackett and the captain inside.
That's the man, Captain. That's him.
He points at Wilson.
No! No, I'm innocent! No, look, I'm innocent! Look, I haven't done anything wrong. I'll explain the whole thing to you again. You see, my boy's a dog.
As Wilby wrestles Buzz, he turns into a person.
A great big hero, are you?
They struggle under a net.
Wilby! Good old Buzz, huh? Right in the nick of time, are you? The great big hero, eh?
He hits Buzz.
Wilby, will you lay off?
Chiffon comes to Francesca.
Wilby! I don't know what I'm talking about. I bet you don't.
Chiffon. Was you save my life? Wonderful, beautiful dog. Oh, Beauchien, my hero. Je t'aime de tout mon cœur.
She kisses the wet dog's head and the boys stare. A newspaper spins into view with the headline, Mailman Uncovers Spy Plot Here. A second headline reads, Local Dog Smashes Spy Ring. At the Daniels house, men move furniture.
Over here with that. Ah, Mr. Daniels, you're in the way. Do you mind?
Oh, no, not at all.
Thank you. Sorry. Now, let's... this stuff will clutter up the picture. Here. Mind holding these, please? Thank you very much. Now.
Ed, get ready for a picture. Now, Mr. Daniels, a picture for our Sunday follow-up story of a human interest angle. How your love for dogs made this whole thrilling thing possible.
Oh, fine.
Now, Mr. Daniels, if you'll just sit on the arm of the chair.
Oh,
that's right it.
Here?
All right, boy. Up in the chair.
Now, just a minute. I will not have that dog up on my good chair with his big, dusty feet.
Oh, don't worry about it, honey. A dog can't hurt anything. How about me with my arm around him like this?
Fine.
This all right?
He scratches his neck as they snap photos.
That's fine. Now, how about one with your son?
Oh, well, why not?
Come here, son. No, not you, the little fella.
Wilby looks at Moochie, who joins his father.
Come on, Wilby, let's take a walk.
Wilby and Buzz leave.
You stay just like that. Good. Mr. Daniels, you'll be looking at your son. All right.
Ah, that's fine. Fine. Anyway, sure was nice Francesca to give us the dog.
That old house is sure gonna seem empty with her gone back to Paris.
Yeah. Swell girl.
Oh, well, I guess it's all for the best. I was getting kind of tired of all that French lingo anyway.
Want to know something else? I don't think we've been quite fair to Allison. She's a swell girl, too.
Yeah, good sport. Real good sport. Anyone else might have gotten sore.
Allison leaves her house.
Hi, Allison.
Hi, Allison.
She waves at them. A convertible sports car stops in front of her house. The boys gape as Allison gets in the passenger side and the male driver looks back at them.
You know them?
Oh, just a couple of neighborhood children.
She smiles coyly at them in the Daniels house.
Hey, let's get the medal in this picture, huh?
Medal?
Yeah.
What medal?
He hands Wilson a medal.
Valor Award? Hmm? Well.
He starts to don it.
No, Mr. Daniels. The medal is for the dog.
Oh.
He puts the medal around Chiffon's neck.
There. Oh, that's good.
They take photos.
Well, I finally got a dog.
What do you mean you've got a dog? We've got a dog.
Wilson, Moochie, and Frida beam, fade to black. The carpet sheepdog eats a dog biscuit. Words behind it read, "The End." This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios, voiced by Mike Tabonis.